Hello and welcome to the Teacher Needs a Drink podcast. This is Elvis. I am your host. I'm here to let you know that the Teacher Needs a Drink podcast is not safe for work. We'll be using foul language and discuss topics that involve sex, drugs, and all kinds of other shenanigans that, you know, happen between students, admin. Well, hopefully not between students and admin, but I think you get the point of what I'm saying. If you are easily offended, this might not be for you. However, we are teachers. We love our jobs. We've even changed our names during this podcast so we wouldn't give away who we are, and we can keep our lovely jobs. We are having drinks and enjoying ourselves, and sometimes our lips get a little loose, and we just want to discuss this as a means of self-care so we can survive and continue to do this job that pays us so well that we love so much. Here's episode one. Cheers.
No one can resist them.
No one can resist my sweaty balls. They're quite tempting.
I can.
It's your superpower.
It's a rare gift.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start recording. Well, welcome, teachers. We have our guest today. I am Elvis speaking to you. And to my right, immediately, I have Dickie. Dickie, tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Dickie McGee. I have been a teacher. I have been a college professor. And I've been an administrator. So I really need a drink.
Nope. You've got your drink right there.
I do. Thank you.
And then across from me, I have the ever lovely Miss Bunny O'Hare. Bunny O'Hare, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Bunny O'Hare. I am in my 16th year of teaching, and I have spent that whole time teaching grades 5 through 8, so I also need a drink.
Yeah, it's definitely time. I didn't say anything about myself. I am Elvis McIntosh, and I've been teaching for 17, 18 years. It's really a long drunken blur at this point, but I've taught a lot of them from ages 3 to 18, and a lot of them in the same week, so it's kind of crazy. But speaking of which, we are going to be talking about students. Yes, our wonderful nemesis and projects, and without them, we wouldn't have a job. And just to make it fun, I want to talk about the worst students, the ones that make it difficult, because it kind of gets boring to talk about the ones we hear all the time about how wonderful they are, and they turn in their work, and they give us gift cards, and their parents are amazing or absent or whatever they need to be. So I would like your opinions and reactions. I went to the wonderful internet, and I found a list of horrible student stories. I want to share them with you. I just want to hear your reactions and whether, you know, what would you do in that situation, or how would you deal, or just what you think about this little asshole. So
I think we established we would drink.
Well, we're drinking.
Okay.
But, you know, in this situation, because sometimes you have to wait till, you know, 3:45 or 4:30 or 4:20 to get a drink. So here we go. This is from the Redditor, Knitterific. It says, I had a letter mailed to my office, as in paid postage, et cetera, that was basically threatening me, saying I'd better stop handing out C's and D's, or word on the street was going to be that I was a bad teacher and no one would take my class and I'd be out of a job. Right? Wouldn't that, like, no one would take your class anymore? Like, I'm sorry, you're a hard teacher. You're fired.
I'm pretty sure that that's not the main qualification to be a teacher. You're supposed to be, like, good at the teaching part.
Well, let's see what the word on the street says. I had a pretty good idea of who it was. Obviously, but didn't think that direct accusations would be really effective anyway. I decided to take to each of my 3 classes and turn it into a lesson on faulty rhetoric. My expectations were exceeded when I began to read the letter out loud, and without fail, each class erupted in laughter, exclaimed things like, "What an asshole!" before I could even weigh in. The kid who I suspected the most definitely slumped in his chair without much to say. So she was able to figure out who it was. Would you even try to investigate to figure out who wrote you a letter? I mean, is it really threatening to say word on the street they'd start a rumor mill campaign against you?
I don't know if it was necessary or not, but I've done many investigations that were an utter waste of time, but I could not stop just because I thought I was on, like, I don't know, elementary school CSI, and like it was my job to crack this case, even though I probably couldn't punish them anyway.
Was it a case of, like, I need something today. This is what it's going to be. I will solve this mystery. Well, I need this win.
At one time, I had one friend who was in the bathroom and used their finger to smear the word poop on the wall with poop. So
how very meta.
It was. I kind of wanted to like write a book with this child if I could figure out who it was, but
not using poop though.
No. So, but I was pretty obsessed with it, and there were some other words up there too, and so we checked the cameras and we had a list of suspects based on access and availability. Mm-hmm. And then we had a fake kind of a sting operation, like a free speed motorboat, you know, but they had to write a letter to be part of this thing. And we purposely picked a bunch of words that would give us a handwriting sample.
Like tool or pool.
There were P's and O's involved, but there was a couple other words up there too. And I was pretty sure that I'd cracked the case, but then the child never admitted it and there wasn't much I could do. So then I was, I had to resort to smelling fingers.
Oh my God.
Because
what?
Your kid. Okay. No. Stay back here.
And this is why I need a drink. Hold on.
Whoa.
Let me take one.
So I imagine you, and I say you're the minister that day, and Bunny O'Hare across is in the classroom, and you come in, and Miss Bunny O'Hare, imagine that he comes into your classroom. He's like, I need your students to line up and hold their fingers up. And then he just starts sniffing them. I mean, how would you react to this situation?
I honestly would probably be a little concerned for his mental health.
I think right. I would question, probably, I'd like notify parents.
Yeah, or like my professional organization or something out of concern for your mental well-being.
Well, I'm pleased to say that it was not such an organized finger-smelling expedition.
Were you sleuthy?
There's one young lady in particular who we were pretty sure that it was her based on the camera and the poop writing sample. It was a plot twist. And when she left the bathroom, we noticed that she did not wash her hands.
Oh.
And so I just slyly made just, I had some pretense. And there was another adult there.
Like,
I was
can
not
I inspect
doing
your
creepy.
Nails, young lady? They look amazing.
It was almost that bad, yeah. But I will say that the smell test confirmed that just the index finger smelled like crap and all the other fingers were doing okay. So, and I'm going to take another drink.
I think you need one. Now, I have a serious question. After doing that, did you think, like, what am I doing with my life? Because there's been many days teaching where I'll go through a real ordeal. I'm like, you know, I went through college. I studied. I worked really hard. I had to impress people. I had to network. I got and landed this job. I managed to get benefits. And I'm sniffing fingers.
You know, I just, when I was growing up, I was like, any job that gets me sniffing fingers, I'm going to be good. So, I considered law. I considered being a doctor because they're sniffing stuff all the time.
They have to be a lot more discreet, though.
Do they? Because I feel like they can be like, hold on, let me smell. Not cancer. Like, they can kind of do whatever they want.
They have dogs for that now.
Well, they don't know. Patients are, no. Anyway, I'm sorry to bring the room down with my poop-smelling story, but that was the thing that happened to me.
That's exciting. Wow. I don't have anything involving bodily fluids to that extent.
No.
I can say pretty concisely after hearing that, I never want to be an administrator. Like, I thought about it for a while.
Oh, you could not pay me enough.
Mm-mm. And I was like, you know, you're removed from the classroom. You get to work with, you know, the best parents are the ones that usually you have to talk to all the time. But yeah, no, you know, you sold me.
At one point, we were sitting around the room discussing this, and I had the realization, like, you know, we have like 5 master's degrees in this room, and we're using them to sniff out
the poo writer.
The poo writer. And man, that's a lot of money.
So, Ms. Bunny O'Hare, have you ever had the situation where one of those delightful days where your classroom is just going amazingly, swimmingly, fantastic, and you can't figure out what it is, whether you had like a cup of coffee or something, where you had an extra hour or two of sleep last night, where Mr. O'Hare was in a great mood the night before, and so you wake up and then you realize that it's not because of any of those things, it's because someone was missing in your classroom?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But of course, it's never the kids that the kids that make the biggest difference by their presence or absence are never absent. They never are absent.
No,
but when they are, it's a life-changing, soul-affirming day.
I've had many times where I think it's someone's absent. I'm like, oh, it's not me, but the whole class, everything is different, even though it's someone who you almost think is a non-entity. You're like, you know, they're quiet.
Right.
They keep to themselves. Mm-hmm, but remarkably, there's no poo writing on the bathroom wall that day. There's no fires. Everything's turned in.
Mm-hmm. The worst feeling is when you think they're going to be absent.
And then they come in
tardy. And then about 10 minutes late, you know, Nothing against them. I love them all. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need a break. And sometimes you think you're getting a break and you aren't. And that's a tough one.
It's that, or they come in like, yeah, I had to get shot. So we went and had ice cream and milkshakes and Red Bull for lunch. And mom just dropped me off. And so I didn't eat anything else. And I didn't sleep last night, but it's going to be great. So let's have the last 3 hours together.
Right. When the note, the tardy note says, you know, reason for being late. And the answer is sugar. That's when you know you're in big trouble.
My favorite English teacher once led a discussion about a Vietnam War novel, The Things They Carried, into a discussion about drugs and paranoia in order to fuck with the dude that always showed up to class high. She didn't look at him once. She just kept saying stuff to fuck with him. Well, I might add, actually leading a very interesting conversation about drug abuse in Vietnam. I'm sitting across the room from him, and he looked like he was dying. I've done smaller things like that. And of course, you know, I mostly specialize in elementary school, so I didn't knowingly have students that were high. There was once or twice I had a few that I thought were intoxicated or one type. I remember I had a boy who tried to get me in trouble with all kinds of stuff and told a lot of lies to his parents and tried to get it blown up, and it didn't. So for the next week, I made us do stories about the boy who cried wolf and was like, you know, I think you should be the boy day. You ever had that where you tell a lie and it didn't work out? But yeah, then he gets eaten.
That's the moral.
That's the moral. I never said I was a great teacher.
I do think jacking with students is like a perk of the job.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you can do it with a certain degree of subtlety and, you know, not soul crushing.
Well, no, moves. I don't want to destroy them. I want them to still enjoy being at school and educated and being there. So, I mean, I'll stick to like a light crop dusting when I walk by them.
Right.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. But at a certain age, they don't understand sarcasm. And so you can't pull that out because that, I mean, it's either just mean or cruel or it's just pointless because you don't want to.
Bunny, you've taught older students, middle school. They have some sense of sarcasm.
Generally. One of my all-time favorite stories about a kid not picking up on sarcasm, though, was one time a student asking me, you know, Miss, do you have any kids? And I said, only the four-legged kind. And this girl deadpan looks at me and goes, your kids have four legs? You know, you try. You do your best.
When I taught college, I would make loud noises when somebody had fallen asleep in class. That was amusing to everybody else. Then I would self-reflect on why it was so boring that people were falling asleep in class.
Was it an 8 o'clock class? Or
It didn't matter. I blame the students. Clearly, I was engaging.
What area in general were you teaching when you were doing college?
I was studying abroad, and so that was English as a second language to students who were learning that.
Did you speak the language that they spoke?
Only in passing, enough to order a beer and count to 10 and tell someone that their dog was cute. That was about my level of the language.
And so they'd come into class and you'd start speaking to them and they didn't understand. And then they would eventually fall asleep.
I mean, they went to the university for the purpose of learning this language. So I feel like it's kind of on them, you know, and I would just talk as fast as I can and then they could pick it up where they couldn't. And that really was my fault.
Yeah.
So that's how we roll.
But I reflect on that because I went to college to learn. And then there were several times where I really was not actively trying to learn.
I don't know. You become such a success in your adult life. I find this unlikely.
I know, right?
Right.
I mean, it's hard to become the king of Toyota. Oh, crap. I should have said Toyota. Now they know I work there.
You meant Google.
Google. Sorry.
Yes.
Yes. The king of the Googles.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Elvis Google, I respect you.
Come. So, Schnitt123 says, I taught English at a ritzy private school. We weren't allowed to discipline the children for any reason, no matter what, because the school was making money from tuition. I've been there. For the most part, the kids, grades 5 through 6, were pretty good, but there was this one kid. He was a little shit about everything, always disruptive, bullying the other kids, throwing pencils, writing swear words in Korean on the whiteboard before class, and never listening. I'll take a pause.
You're right there, Elvis?
Yeah, sorry. Well, you always have to say it out loud. Here. Mr. Dickey, why don't you read this one for us? Someone with a star right next to it.
So I started eating a lot of kimchi on the days that I taught that specific class, which gave me some wicked indigestion. When I walked by the kid, I would let out these horrible, silent, creeping hot farts. I like that they use the word hot.
I like the
I've never had a cold fart.
I like the long list of adjectives leading into that.
And I'm never eating kimchi again. And then it says, no one would ever blame the teacher. And after a couple of weeks, he became known as the Farty Kid. Wow.
Beautiful.
That is some good revenge.
Beautiful.
It says he was still a little shit, but it made me feel better knowing that he was knocked down a few pegs. Was he, though?
For life.
I mean, social capital is everything at that age. So if his classmates are labeling him with that particular title, then that's going to have an effect somewhere.
Yeah, I would certainly hope that that would happen. You know, maybe he just owned it and he was like, hell yeah, smell this.
As the teacher, I think I'd take that a step further. I think I would go and like, you know, like I'd go talk to him after everyone accused him of farting. I'd be like, you know what I do when I have to pass gas? I clap my hands so no one can hear it.
Nice.
So that doesn't clapping.
Yeah, or maybe say, you know, you're farting so much because you're acting like a little dick. And that, you know, maybe if you pick up after yourself and, you know, stop writing poop on the wall, like,
I think that should be the moral. Would go away. Like, you know, kids, you wouldn't smell so bad if you just weren't a horrible student.
Bunny, did you ever sabotage a student? You don't seem like the saboteur.
My very first year teaching, I had a mom whose child was completing that grade for the second time. And she was on his case, and she would occasionally just drop in after school, and she would walk into my room and, Ms. O'Hare, how are you this afternoon? I just wanted to check and see how, we'll call him Adam. We'll just call and see how Adam is doing today. And Adam is standing right there with this don't tell her, don't tell her, don't tell her look on his face. Oh, well, how nice of you to ask, Mrs. M. Actually, let's discuss what happened today. And Adam would melt into the floor, and it was delightful. It was a lot of fun.
The look the other way principle. I was teaching in a school where a third grade student told me he was going to kill me. He told me that his grandpa had a gun cabinet and he knew where he kept the key. When I told my principal about it, he said that he wanted to kill me. He said that I hadn't built a good relationship with the student and it was my fault. Holy crap.
Wow.
He said I should invite the student to school on a Saturday to play games. Wow, that all sounds horrible.
That sounds like the worst advice I've ever heard.
That sounds like about 30 other things that could go wrong.
How about the student who threatened you? Why don't you come on up here on a weekend? Maybe bring some guns.
Yeah.
You know, do some target practice. Just
let's play some games.
They'll aim forward. Don't worry about it.
I wonder if this was, you know, before. I feel like pretty much everyone's been in, what's it called? Zero.
Tolerance.
Yeah, zero tolerance. Like if you even draw a picture of a gun, your ass is out of school for the rest of your life.
I mean, at this point, if you happen to make a gun just by stretching your forefinger and thumb, you pretty much get the SWAT team. So
yeah, I mean, you're threatening.
Yes.
I'm wondering, how long ago that little anecdote took place, because I cannot imagine a scenario in 2019 where that would be dismissed so lightly.
I'm curious. I mean, I wonder if
crazy.
It's like an older principal, you imagine saying that. You know what? It's your fault because you just don't love them enough. I'd say it's a new principal, but I feel like most principals at least had to go in the trenches for a while. They had to at least be teachers before they get up there. No one takes that position raw.
I do think there are some principals who, the second they become a principal, they forget that they were ever a teacher. You know? But I would agree. I would think this is somebody who's been doing it for a while and just isn't as invested as they used to be. So it's much easier just to say, that's your fault. Go fix that and try not to get shot.
And then even if the student wasn't threatening to kill me because they have access to guns, I generally don't make plans, especially it says third grader. So I'm going to say it says he too. I don't make plans with little boys outside of school to meet me anywhere. Mm-mm. Just, you know, when I was teaching, I was like, you know, when you're meeting with a child or anyone, just keep the door open, have a second body in the room, just, you know, cover your ass type things.
Right.
I see all kinds of way by saying, you know what? You just need to be my friend more. Why don't you come up here this weekend and we can play some games? I could see that really, really. I could see the parent wanting to shoot you.
That's a lawsuit waiting to happen right there.
Wow.
Well, I was disturbed about the part where the person said that the principal also wanted to kill them. That seems like a second threat.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Hopefully they were embellishing. Because if not, then I feel like you could go to the board on that one.
Yeah.
We have the narcissist principal. This story goes, I once had a principal many, many years ago who loved to sing. One year, she decided to sing Christmas songs during the end-of-day announcements. It started with one on the first day, and it grew during the week. By the end of the week, she was singing like seven carols.
Buses were backed up, parents were complaining about kids being late, and there were other problems, but it didn't really matter. She had her mic and a captive audience, and damn it, she was going to sing. Yeah, I mean, being an administrator, being a principal, you sometimes it's like a your own little personal talent show. Mm-mm. But you have no talent, but Mm-mm. it doesn't matter because it's your show.
No, honey, no.
Ugh. I don't even know where to comment on that. I mean, I've seen principals do good with it, where they've used it, they've played music for everyone. I don't know many that have held them hostage. I felt held hostage at many, many faculty meetings. Sure. Though.
Yes.
I think that's the point where I've had a lot of ministers like, you know, I'm glad I get to talk to all of you. I have nothing to say to everyone. I have things to say to you, and specifically you, but not to everyone. But, mm-hmm. oh my God.
I had one principal, I'm going to call it narcissism. Mm-hmm. He would have thought that it was more kind of like a higher religious calling, but he liked to liken us to his sheep, and he was the shepherd. And yeah. during staff meetings, he would get so emotional about this concept that he would cry. And it was very wow. awkward because it's your boss,
yeah.
and you can't really just be like, hey, dude, you know, we're really tired here, and we're good. Like, we just want to go home. Like, everything's okay, but you're not failing us, and you haven't led us into some unholy land. Like, we're good. And yeah. he liked to have the emotions.
Hmm. No, I've had principals like that. I had a male principal, and he would get very, very emotional. But he also didn't seem to have a social maturity level that most adults have, where if teachers like, you know what, we're adults, we're finished, we're going to go have a drink off campus after hours to blow off steam, to talk, to whatever we need to do. And I remember them getting very concerned about it. Like, I heard you guys are going for a drink.
Oh, right. Like, you're saving your soul.
Yeah, like, you don't need to be doing this. There's other things. Like, you know, we're adults. We're responsible. No one's getting DUIs. No one's getting, you know, into trouble. We're far away from the students because we don't want to see them after school either. That's not where we want to hang out, is right next to the school.
My administration recommends places to us.
That's fantastic.
It is.
So at what point do you tell the narcissist principal to cut it out?
It's true. How can you do that? Aren't you scared you're going to hurt their feelings? Or they might feel betrayed.
That's a tricky one.
How would you handle it, though? I mean, you've done some administrator, Mr. Dickie McGee.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's like, you know, when you are wearing a trash can costume for 30 minutes and dancing, would you be hurt? Like, I put a lot of love into this costume. I'm doing it for you.
I have trouble relating because I've never once done anything that anybody would find anything other than completely charming. And so it's hard for me to really put myself in these shoes, but...
Well, of course, I'm not pretend. You. Just I'll pretend. Use your imagination.
Imagination.
Here.
I feel like if someone, you know, kind of subtly said, like, for example, say that the singing has gotten so bad that you can't, you know, the kids are late. Mm-hmm. Maybe focus more on the effects than on the actual quality of the singing itself.
Like, it's true.
You know, my kids were 3 minutes late to specials today, and even though they loved hearing your rendition of, you know, Jingle Bells, you know, it did make us a little bit late. Maybe they would get it that way.
I think that's a great advice.
I agree. I was kind of thinking something along that lines of, you know, Mrs. Smith, the kids are enjoying it so much, but, you know, we've got parents lined up out front. And, you know, since they can't hear what's going on inside, I'm concerned that they're getting a little impatient with us.
Or maybe we should take a tactic from kids from our last podcast and just write a secret letter unanswered. And just like, you know what, if you continue to sing for 10 minutes... I'm going to use my word power on the street.
And word on the street.
Everyone's going to know that you're a horrible principal.
I don't know there's a scenario that passive-aggressive blackmail is wrong. So I'd say, yeah. I'd say do it.
The intercom is a tricky thing, though, because it can be used for good or evil. And I did have one principal who liked to have fun with it. For example, paging himself on the announcements for fun. Mr. Bonner, please report to the front office. Mr. Bonner, you have somebody waiting for you. Please report to the front office. Isn't that Mr. Bonner's voice? Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow.
It was fun. It was good times.
That makes me think of like a cartoon where you have someone doing their own introduction, like they're doing a one-man show. And like, and now from Washington State, far away, it's Mr. And it's him holding a microphone. Hey, thanks for the great introduction. Yeah, it was you.
Well, you do have that captive audience, so it is pretty tempting. And sometimes the material sounds good in your head, and then only when it comes out, you're like, yeah.
O'Hare, will you share the next principal story? What's the title?
Lighted. It's called The Insensitive Principal. The writer says...
Shut up. Oh, sorry. I was practicing for the comments.
You were auditioning for the role. Excellent. I had an administrator say to me that since I was unmarried, a new teacher, and didn't have kids, that I should expect to carry the majority of weight for my department. She said I had, quote, more time to commit, quote, than anybody else with a partner, family, or other commitments.
Wow.
Yikes. So that's
basically
terrible.
You're a loser, so I'm going to ask you to do more work. Is that kind of how that goes?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, you obviously have nothing better to do with your time, since everybody knows that kids and marriage are the pinnacle to which we all aspire. If you're not there yet, you just must have more time on your hands, I suppose.
I'm sorry, since you can't carry a baby right now, you need to carry these 40 extra students for tutoring you know, and those special parents. I think you need to make sure they have someone to talk to after school. You'll be answering phones.
What else could you possibly be doing with your time? I mean,
work well.
I will say that in my single years, it wasn't an administrator that did it, but I did have coworkers who attempted to pull similar shenanigans about, oh, well, you don't have kids. You're not married. You probably have some free time. No. No, Karen, I don't.
I do have to admit, when I had a newborn baby, I played the child card a few times. Like, hurricane's coming. Hey, we need everyone to lock down and stay after school for 40 extra minutes. I've got a newborn baby. I got to get out of here. Sorry. You're playing the kid card? Yeah, I'm out of here. Sorry, bye.
Someone's got to make the formula. If I don't make the formula, that kid dies.
I know, right?
Yeah. Do you want that on your hands?
This is a life and death situation.
Yeah. I've definitely had some administrators who... I mean, it wasn't about, you know, being single or not, but who definitely had the opinion that your personal life did not matter and, you know, you got to do whatever I got to say.
No, I've had that. I had the gender card pulled on me a lot because I worked for elementary school for a long time. And most of the time I was one of three males in the building, four males. And so I would be called out of class to lift something that was heavy. It was hard.
The one that I find amusing is if an attractive man enters the school and suddenly I feel like the homeliest person ever, because suddenly the talk around, and it's openly discussed, it's not privately, you know, water cooler, it's like
man, the Dr. Pepper man's here today.
Did you see his arms? Did you see that hair?
So when I was a young male teacher, my first month of school, I was called to the nurse's office because the other the assistant principal was also a male. And we were one of, I think it was and there might have been like a second grade teacher or a third grade teacher. But I was a specialist teacher, so I could be pulled out of class and no one cared. My kids could, you know, write poo on the wall or something. Anyway, I was called in. I go to the nurse's office and then there is a child on the little cot type thing that they have. They have the sheet pulled back. It's very dramatic. There was mood lighting and everything. And this boy is screaming and crying. And then there's the large AP who is kind of holding the kid's crotch and holding it. Just holding it together. No, he's not holding his crotch. He's holding his pants near his crotch.
Okay,
clarification. There we go. But he's holding, and the kid's screaming and crying. And apparently the boy had been in the bathroom. And,
oh, I don't like where this is going.
Oh, no. This is where it was going. He had to go to the bathroom, and he went. And the teacher's like, hurry up. You're going to miss recess. Or there's not going to be enough square pizza for you. Or whatever his reason was to hurry up. And he zipped, and he had the whole Frank and Beans the zipper.
Frank switch, and Beans?
Frank above the beans. I don't think it was that bad. I think it was just like the turtle was stuck in his turtleneck.
Oh, none of that's good.
And because I was a male teacher, it was like, come up here, you need to fix this. I was like, no.
Apparently you seem like someone who'd be qualified to fix that problem.
I was like, I barely know how to work my own. I'm not going to take care of this, like, you know, little 9-year-old boy who can't. Oh, God, it was horrible. And so the poor boy's parents refused to come up. The father didn't want to leave work. The mom had other things to do.
That poor kid.
And so, and it was 1 o'clock. It was in the morning. So, I don't know, it was before lunchtime. And he was like, oh, well, we have to fix it. And so the AP was trying to get it done and get it fixed. So
like
he
this.
Had scissors out. And first he was trying to kind of scare the boy into just undoing it on his own. But the boy was terrified and freaked out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would be too. But, I mean... the solution to that is just a quick unzip on your own. Like, immediately, if you nip, you unzip. But he didn't know that, and he had gone too far and had panicked, and I was crying. And
Was there blood?
I didn't get close enough to look. I honestly stood in the doorway, and I was like, I don't have to go towards this.
Right.
I'm going to step back here. And I stood there for about 30 minutes. The assistant principal and the nurse had cut the boy's pants around the zipper, to hopefully maybe to undo the zipper from the bottom without having to actually, you know, do an unzip action, but it wasn't working. And oh God, it was horrible. Mm. It was horrible. There was screams. And finally I actually just walked away and I was like, I can't contribute to this. There was nothing good.
Yeah, that's another like lawsuit waiting to happen situation. And yeah,
very much so. I mean, nothing ever happened. And I think the boy's parents, knowing what was going on, eventually showed up to school like around three, like after school was over, and picked him up and took him home. And the next day,
was he still zipped in?
I assume so. I imagine he just kind of ended up making peace with it. I don't know. Had like whatever, a weekly reader or something.
At some point, it becomes a lifestyle, and you just go with it.
You're like, you know, this is my life now.
Yeah, I'm that kid.
The rest of your life zipped up. No, I'm not sure. I always think of him, though. I mean, that had to be 14 years ago, 16 years ago. He's a grown man now wandering somewhere, but I can still imagine this boy and his name and going, yeah, he got Frank and Bean stuck in there, and he cried, and man, it was horrible. It was bad.
It was probably a life-changing event.
I would hope so. I mean, I'd hope, if anything, he learned to take his time, or maybe he got like Buttonfly.
Right.
But yeah, no, you don't rush that, or you wear underwear. Ms. Bunny O'Hare, do you have any closing thoughts or ideas?
Since we're discussing principals, just that the principals that I have enjoyed working for were the ones that, as you said, have not forgotten what it's like to be in the classroom. So remember your roots. Remember from whence you came.
Yeah, there's some value when you hear a principal like, I know you guys are busy right now. Then they say it, as opposed to, right now I need you guys to come listen to a meeting on this color sheet that I want you to fill out as a team builder.
Just acknowledge, just a simple, I see what you're doing, and then carry on. Like, acknowledge that you understand the struggle, and then we will be much more receptive to it. But when, yeah, when you just come in guns blazing, it's
I think that's off-putting. Good advice.
Yeah.
And, you know, principals aren't perfect. They all got their personality flaws. I think that the key is to hide them and to, you know, smile, always smile.
Just be the model best person in the world. And so then, they know that's who you are.
And then drink like I'm doing right now.
Yes.
Have a drink, everyone.
Woo. Woohoo, that was a blast. I hope you guys enjoyed our first episode of TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com. A special big thanks to Dickie McGee and Bunny O'Hare. If you're interested, you can follow us on Facebook at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, as well on Instagram at Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast, and of course, on our website, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com, where there will be all of our updates for our podcast, new recordings, and all of that great stuff. Thanks, everybody, and have a drink.